The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. Live from Bar Canada at the D. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. How about you?
Seeing the ball well, as they say these days. Seeing the ball well.
Yeah, you are. Baseball. It's nice for you. Yesterday.
Well, it was nice. Both on the Astros and Phillies fronts. And, you know, much like I bet one team for last winless in the NFL, I didn't spread it out with five teams. Just bet one team, Carolina. I have one exacta in the World Series.
And
it's the Phillies over the Astros. And it's way too early to get excited about it because the Phillies have not even taken down the Braves yet. They are up 2-1.
Yeah, but how are you going to hedge?
I'm not.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
I know you're doing it as you were doing it as a joke because you knew
jerk,
I wasn't.
I
yeah. I'm just not in that cottage industry of, oh, I must hedge. I got it at 45-1, Phillies over the Astros at Caesars. Then that was before the wild card series. Then after the wild card series, before the divisional round, 27.5-1 here at Circa. So it's, yeah, I really would like the Phillies to close this out tonight in Philadelphia, where, again, you know, in baseball, there's ballpark factor, which is a huge thing in handicapping baseball and really roster construction. The way that you're, you know, specifically your pitchers and what types of skill sets they have vis-a-vis the type of ballpark, how it plays. But yeah, I never really thought, you know, much of baseball in terms of just a crowd really influencing and saying, oh, what a home field advantage. But the Phillies, man, that's as close as you come to anything.
Yeah.
Which is certainly not the only, you know, the only place you'll hear it being here. I think a lot of people have come to that conclusion. Game four tonight. This, of course, after the Phillies just roll the Braves yesterday, 10-2. And can we just shout out Bryce Harper, who signed that 13-year deal for over $300 million with the Phillies. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 16 years old. He is really, in terms of, you know, we think of LeBron as the one guy that lived up to all the hype. Well, you know what Bryce Harper did too?
Yeah.
In every way. And you look at that Phillies roster and you're like, oh, I see what you guys' strategy was. You took all the great players from all the other teams in your division. So it's like Harper and Schwarber and Trey Turner being on that Nationals World Series championship team. Those three guys used to play for the Nationals. JT Realmuto used to play for the Marlins. Kimbrel used to play for the Braves.
That is wild. No, I didn't really thought about that before. You're right. That is
who
wild.
Am I forgetting in the division? Oh, and the Mets, of course. You know, the Mets, of course, on their roster, who am I forgetting now, played for the Mets on the Phillies, of course. But, Zach Wheeler. So it's like, it's this amazing, it's like, you guys done with that guy? Okay, we'll take him now. We'll be awesome. Thanks. Appreciate it, division rivals. So the Phillies get it done, and they are dogs, though, today against Spencer Strider. So this is a long way. Forget the World Series exactly. This series is a long way from being over because it's Strider today against Ranger Suarez. These two were the pitching matchup in game one of this series. Strider went seven strong in that first one, gave up one earned run, but two runs entirely, five hits, eight Ks, two walks on 94 pitches. Ranger Suarez left the game after we got the hook after 3 2/3, but he gave up no earned runs, one hit, four Ks, one walk, 53 pitches into that ball game. But the Phillies won it 3-0, and that's all that matters. And so the Phillies going to try to close them out today. I'm going to just sit back and because I got the exact and see what happens after getting both of those games right yesterday. The Astros do hold on to a 3-2 win over the Twins. So the Astros are headed to the ALCS for the seventh straight time.
That's incredible.
Only the 90s Atlanta Braves of the Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin era went to eight straight. Only won one World Series in that span also, by the way. But this is seven in a row in this era for the Astros, where we talked about, we went on and on about best of three, best of five. It doesn't matter to the Astros.
That's what I was just kind of smiling over here, because we got a couple tweets about that. And it's one of those things where both things can be true, right?
Yeah.
Like, that can absolutely be true of an overall MLB take, yet makes it almost more impressive that the Astros have done that seven straight times.
And Will Hill and I were texting about this yesterday, but I don't know what the Twins were doing with Joe Ryan. They didn't, you know, he was about to start in that first series that the Twins had against the Jays. Then they pulled him and it worked out fine for the Twins. And then this one, they pushed him back, and then they only pitched him two innings yesterday and pulled him. So it was just the weirdest, like, well, what did you wait for on him? The thing with the Astros, and part of that handicap of having the Phillies beating the Astros in the World Series, is that you figured the Astros pitching would just somehow magically show up. And it did. Javier before, who didn't have a good season, or Keedy last night was just fine. And the Astros hold on for the 3-2 win. I think the Twins only had three hits in that ballgame, if I'm not mistaken, two of them solo shots. So Astros are a minus. This was a minus 125 favorite in the series against the Rangers. Here at Circa, where we are, at the D, part of the Circa umbrella, it's minus 135 now on the Astros. We're showing minus 140, I think, at a spot like DraftKings right now. So it's right in that pocket.
Well, if it's 140, it ticked up then from when I sent these numbers in. It was 135 earlier.
I think it's probably an accurate line. Because I think if you just look at the starting pitching, you do have to, after seeing the Astros postseason pitching so far, you do have to lean Astros in that respect now. With Verlander. With Valdez. We'll see what happens with him.
Phillies over
with
Rangers?
With Javier. Phillies over range. Phillies over Astros.
Over Astros.
Yeah, okay. Phillies over Astros. Long, dude, they're not out of the Braves series yet. I'm not even trying to think about it.
No. I was just wondering. These Phillies and Rangers, but they're both looking hot, man, right now.
Phillies did this last year, though, right?
Yeah.
Rangers, I do question. We'll see if they're starting pitching. We'll see if Scherzer comes back in this series. We'll see if Bochy buckles to some Scherzer. You know Scherzer's going to be ready to go. He's like, put me in. I think you start Eovaldi game one, though. And then, of course, the other series, that the Phillies-Braves eventual winner in the NLDS will meet, it is official now, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Incredible.
In the National League Championship Series. By the way, if there is a Game 5 in the Braves-Phillies series, it will be Saturday. You pointed out before we got on air, another Friday with no real sports.
It's just bizarre.
Even the WNBA, as we discovered in a special numbers game investigation, they had Game 1 Sunday, Game 2 last night. By the way, the Aces won both of them, in case you're wondering. And then Game 3 is not till Sunday again.
I don't think...
What are they doing?
Gil, you know I'm not the biggest WNBA guy. I think I caught every single...
You're the biggest WNBA guy.
I think I caught every single Aces Liberty regular season game.
Yes, me too.
I watched 30 minutes of the game last night, and that's all I've seen of the WNBA finals.
Such
so
a great point.
And I know I'm not going to see any on Sunday again.
That's so true, man. I saw each one of their matchups during the regular season. I never watched WNBA, but that one I did.
So we're in a position where it could be over by Sunday. And I wouldn't have seen more than 30 minutes of the finals with two of the best WNBA teams this season, and I don't know,
because
maybe
like,
the past few years.
It's like they've sought out football games to go up against.
It's bizarre.
And by the way, the ALCS will not begin till Sunday either between the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers. But what I was getting at is the Diamondbacks are in. They sweep the Dodgers. Four home runs, four solo shots off of Lance Lynn. By the time it was over, you were just watching just in disbelief. You're like, is this really happening? The fourth of which, I don't know if you saw this, the fourth of which, there was a shot down the right field line in this ball game, and it was initially ruled a home run. The Dodgers bullpen saying, hey, no, that was foul. They reviewed it, and they're like, okay, you're right, it's not. And then on the very next pitch, this after Perdomo and Marte and Walker had already homered, Gabriel Moreno said, okay, that's fine. By the way, Will Hill, I got to get Will a shout. He texts me where he goes, why are they doing it again? He's just going to hit another one. And he sure did. It's amazing. And those four
runs. That was
runs,
incredible.
Those four runs held up. D-backs win it 4-2. By the way, Chris Taylor with a shot in the eighth that went to the deepest part of the ballpark and looked like the Dodgers might be able to, by the way, in the ninth, pardon me, looked like they might be able to tie up the ball game and with a runner on, and it just, the ballpark held it in its furthest corner. So
I had at that moment on TV one, I did have the WNBA finals on volume up, and then I had volume off when that sequence occurred, and I saw the foul ball. I'm like, wait, turn up the volume here. Like, is this a home run or not? Like, these guys are freaking out in the bullpen that it's not a home run.
Yeah, they saw it clearly.
And then, like, you know, it's one of those you see one or two highlights, and you're like, that's foul. Like, who the hell called this a home run? Okay. And then him stepping back up to the plate and knocking the net, that was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in a baseball game.
It was incredible. Every time you turned, there was another home run.
I mean, to think that you hit one just that foul, and they brought this up on the broadcast, but you hit that foul, and then you have to break for the review.
Yes.
And then you step back in the box and hit the next one out. Well, that's incredible.
What about from the Lance Lynn standpoint? Then you just throw up another meatball.
Exactly.
Dodgers become the second 100-win team to never hold a lead in the postseason. The 1963 Yankees, who could forget that, Kelly, was the other one. The Dodgers in this series, 4 2/3 combined innings pitched from starting pitchers. That's the fewest in the first three games of any series ever in the history of Major League Baseball. You want more? Okay. Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, a combined 1 of 21. That's a 0.48 combined batting average from your two superstars. Wow. That ain't going to get it done. And as we mentioned, the Astros headed to their seventh straight American League Championship Series. Good on them. Good on them. Real quick, before we get to, because I didn't even say what we got coming up. We got Aaron Schatz coming up from FTN, the creator of Football Outsiders and the creator of DVOA. We're going to talk to him about the first quarter. He always comes in quarterly reports with Aaron Schatz. Going to ask him about his best DVOA teams, his worst, which units are historically good, which are historically bad, special teams. And I want to get into a whole MVP discussion because he has an MVP vote. And he has stated on this show, I will only vote for a quarterback. So I want to go back and forth on that with him. Real quick, though, the game tonight, Chiefs 10.5-point favorites hosting the Broncos. This is really a weather game, Kelly. Windy conditions could be anywhere between 15 to 30 miles per hour with potential rain. Always risky, of course, pre-flopping this. I think you wait to see what the weather's like. Kelsey is questionable for the Chiefs.
I bet Pacheco over his rushing yardage.
Pacheco over rushing.
Apparently everybody else did in the country, according to my John Ewing email I just got from MGM.
Wilson clean pocket, versus facing pressure. He becomes sort of a mediocre quarterback when he faces pressure. But the Chiefs defense, fourth in pressure rate. So this could be different for Russell Wilson tonight. No pre-flop for me. We'll come back. Aaron Schatz, Numbers Game, VSiN.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel, the John Von Model. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Billen live from Bar Canada here at the D. This is always a treat. He has been so good to me through the years back in the old podcast days of Betting Dork when I was a little pisher back then in the day, then beating the book, and continues to come on the Megapod. And then we have this thing on a little tradition here on a numbers game. We're on the quarter marks of the NFL season. He's kind enough to join us to sort of put things in context through the prism of analytics. He's the founder, of course, of Football Outsiders back in the day, the creator of the Stat DVOA. He is now at FTN. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the great Aaron Schatz. How you doing, Aaron? I cannot hear Aaron. Can you hear Aaron? I cannot hear Aaron. Oh, we'll work on it. We'll get Aaron there. That was a big intro, and then we didn't hear Aaron. By the way, you could follow Aaron, it should be pointed out, on Twitter, at ASchatzNFL. That's ASchatzNFL, while we work on Aaron. Let's read some tweets, shall we? Always appreciate the feedback. I'm going to go Cronkite style and read some of these. This is from Alan Mitchell. What do you think Bochy is worth in this series? Thanks. I'm not smart enough to quantify Bruce Bochy on a betting line in this series. To be quite honest with you, easier to do over a 162-game schedule and a small sample size like this. But Bochy, of course, as we talked about yesterday, 13 years in San Francisco, 3 World Series, really in a classy way, left the organization, said this will be my last year in 2019 when Farhan Zaidi came in, and he realized, you know, he's going to have to be subject to a more analytical approach. And so rather than push for an extension and make it awkward and have the fan base sort of rebel against management, he just went out gracefully and now he's back doing his thing. Let's see. Jason Stark responding to your thing. Not that Jason Stark, but another one's responding to your comment about Mike Tomlin never having a losing season. He says, sitting with the winning record through 5 games, he said. Steven Vegas going to ride out my 175-1 Texas over Arizona exacta that I made at the end of June. Baseball's so crazy. I thought both of these teams were going to miss the playoffs a month ago. Now I'm live again. I really dislike this new baseball playoff format unless this wins, he says. We do have Aaron Schatz from FTN Sports. How you doing, Aaron? We still do not have Aaron. I thought we did. Okay.
I'm here.
There we go. He's back.
There.
How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Great to talk to you. Great to see you.
Yeah. Well, good to hear me.
Great to hear you more than anything. So listen, I appreciate you coming on. I want to start with something that we're going to get to your DVOA current rankings and parse those out and find out what teams you've gotten right so far, what have flummoxed you, what are the teams that have exceeded or underperformed in terms of what the conventional wisdom has right now. But I want to talk about MVP first, because I meant to talk to you about this when you were doing the Megapod with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and I a couple weeks ago, because I know you have an MVP vote. You've been open about this. And the last time we spoke about it, you were sort of not adamant, but you explained yourself that it would be very difficult for you to bet for anyone besides a quarterback. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's just the quarterback holds, you know, touches the ball on every play. The quarterbacks are the most important players on the field. It would be really hard to vote for someone at a different position, although this year is making me think about it a little bit.
Oh, okay. So let's explore that, because this is what I don't know if you know this, Aaron, but a lot of people bet on this kind of thing. And then
I have a feeling.
Yes. And then there's offensive player of the year, which is sort of in that same calculus. Okay. So you're thinking about it a little differently. Is that because Christian McCaffrey and or Tyreek Hill has made you think about it differently?
Yeah, it's tough, because I think with both Tua Tagovailoa and Brock Purdy, you have the same kind of thing going on, which is, you know, they're both valuable players, but they're not necessarily the most valuable player. And I don't know if they're really the most valuable player on their teams. It's so much about those schemes is built around Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey, or I guess for San Francisco, it's more built around everybody, right? I mean, you know, historically, the quarterback with the best stats generally wins MVP, but, you know, what if those stats are in large part a product of the scheme that you're in and the players that are around you, and you're not necessarily doing it on your own? I mean, imagine it, for example. What do you think would be better, Josh Allen in San Francisco's scheme or Brock Purdy in Buffalo?
Well, I think the average person would knee-jerk reaction and say Josh Allen in San Francisco. I don't think I would necessarily.
I think that, yes. But, you know, I mean, what makes Purdy better than Jimmy Garoppolo was, in part, is his ability to actually do something if the play breaks down out of structure. But, of course, Josh Allen is even much better at that. I mean, I think when you look at the actual skills of the players, that I would guess that Josh Allen would be even better than Purdy if he were in San Francisco's scheme, and that Purdy would not be as successful as Josh Allen if he was in the Buffalo scheme with the Buffalo offensive line and the Buffalo receivers, you know, who other than Stephon Diggs are not as good as the receivers that they have in San Francisco.
Unless there is a thought that, and it's a growing one, that Brock Purdy processes so well that we are just, as a group of football observers, no matter how analytical or not, on that entire spectrum, we're just not appreciating it to the point. And maybe it's because of the prior that he was the last pick in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. But here's another prior. Jimmy Garoppolo led the league in passing DVOA last year. Jimmy Garoppolo, in the same offense with the same skill players, led the league in passing DVOA. So my prior is not about where Purdy was drafted. It's about what Purdy is doing compared to the man who came before him. And he's better than the man who came before him, but I don't know if he's MVP better. Like, if I was voting right now, I would vote for Purdy and Tagovailoa, but I don't think I would put either of them number one in my vote, right? Like, so the way that we talk about quarterbacks is like they either suck or they're elite. And with Purdy, right, it's become worse. It's become, he's either a replaceable part or he's the MVP.
Right.
What if he's just a valuable player?
Yeah. So now explain that. When you vote for MVP, it's no longer, it used to be just one vote, one person, first place. And that's why, remember when everyone was like, Russell Wilson has never gotten an MVP vote, because you only got to bet on, you only got to vote on one person. Now it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is it?
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And a five.
So if I was voting right now, I would probably put Allen number one.
Josh Allen number one.
and Mahomes number two.
Keep going.
And then I would probably put Purdy and Tagovailoa in some order.
Okay, so no mention of McCaffrey or Tyreek Hill, though, still.
I would have to probably decide on them and probably put one of them fifth.
Okay, but you're still far away from voting for either of those guys, number one. Do you think that you are reflective of the general MVP voting pool in that respect?
I think certainly more than 5 years ago, more than 10 years ago, there are more analytically, you know, based minds on the panel now. I think for the most part, MVP is the quarterback award. And now we are treating offensive player of the year as the non-quarterback award. And I think most people are voting in that fashion. And that's the way we'll end up voting come December.
Is it still only 50 people voting for MVP?
Yes, it's a 50 person panel.
50 people, 50 human beings, Kelly. That's it. 50 humanoids.
It's a lot of power.
I think you're right, by the way, Aaron, that that's what it's become, that the, not to belabor this, but that the MVP has become the de facto quarterback award, and that offensive player of the year becomes this depository for whoever's the best player beyond quarterback. Do you think, could there be a scenario, let me, we'll close it out with this. Do you think that there could be a scenario where the Niners are so good, right? 15-2, let's say. Let's come up with 15-2. Throw that out there. Which is still going to be very hard for them to get to, but let's throw it out for the purposes of the conversation. You go with a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes, one of those two guys wins MVP. Do you think Purdy could be esteemed so highly, or, you know, in that respect, and they get such a cartoon record that they could make an exception for Offensive Player of the Year this year and actually say, well, we got to give Purdy something?
It doesn't make any sense to me, right? Like, if you're the best offensive player and you're a quarterback, that you're the MVP, right? And there needs to be an award for non-quarterbacks. It's not fair if there's no award for non-quarterbacks. Like, I've seen people say, there should be a Player of the Year award. Well, there are. There are two of them, one for Offensive Player of the Year and one for Defensive Player of the Year. And you should give those awards to non-quarterbacks.
Right. But someone could counter, right? Someone who's not as focused on quarterback and say, well, I think you're being prejudiced against non-quarterbacks. You're not making them an MVP, right? Someone could say that. I'm just being difficult.
Well, I mean, listen, if your argument for MVP is who's the best at their position compared to average, right? Not who's actually most valuable.
Yeah.
Then 4 years ago, you should have given it, or 5 years ago or whatever, to Justin Tucker.
Okay, fair enough. We'll come back. We'll talk about the broader stuff. DVOA with the great Aaron Schatz. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. Won't be quite as eloquent as yesterday's. Still a little briefer. But we're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one. But Zyn nicotine pouches, well, they're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We'll get to more tweets in a bit. Everybody wants to talk about their baseball futures that are still live and beyond, and we will get to that. But Aaron Schatz, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment this morning. And by the way, Crackman Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with Crackman, coming up as well. Aaron, the creator of Football Outsiders, of the proprietary stat DVOA, which, by the way, for those who are like, what is DVOA? Defense Adjusted Value Over Average, calculating a team's success based on the down and distance of each play during the season, then calculating how much more or less successful each team is compared to the league average. So super granular. You could follow Aaron, who is now at FTN Sports, at A Shots. That's A-S-C-H-A-T-Z-N-F-L on a Twitter. Let's get into it, Aaron. DVOA, who are your top, let's say top three teams in overall DVOA thus far this year, the quarter mark?
Well, what I'll say to you first is that what stands out about this year is that it is a year of extreme. Sometimes you have a year where things are kind of packed around zero in the middle. This year you have a lot of, this is the best such and such ever, or this is the worst such and such ever. There's a lot of that going on. So our number one team is San Francisco right now. And they are the seventh highest team we have ever tracked since 1981 through 5 games.
Who was the number one through 5 games? Do you know that offhand?
I think it was 91 Washington, It might have been 2007. If you every game that you add,
yeah,
the 2007 Patriots and the 91 Redskins go back and forth as to who's number one.
Kelly knows. I just asked that question just so you could say 91.
So I would say 91. Yeah, that's right.
Say who's the best of all. No, stop. All right. Okay. But that's interesting what you're saying.
Yeah. If you see the numbers on the screen, you'll notice Buffalo is really close.
Yes.
At 3-2. Buffalo is the best 3-2 team of all time.
Well, what I'm noticing, which is really interesting, is that the Lions at three are quite in their own island in terms of being far away from the top two, but also well ahead of anybody below them.
And this is the best Lions team we've ever measured through five games, and by a lot. Like, the Lions had never been higher than eighth after week five, and they're third right now. Like, the Lions are for real. Like, they have not played an easy schedule. They've played an average schedule. I mean, they beat Kansas City, for crying out loud.
Who's your dead last team, by the way?
The Giants.
Worse than the Panthers.
And they're way back. Oh. The Giants are way back.
Oh, historically bad?
Yeah, like the 12th all time on the worst teams through five games, the Giants. They're really bad. They're the worst offense. There's a big gap between them and the rest of the league. So many sacks, so many negative plays.
Your 2023 New York Football Giants. Panthers, by the way, second worst for those who don't have it on screen. Broncos, third worst. Interesting. That might
surprise. Broncos with the worst defense we've ever measured.
Through five games, worst defense
ever. Through five games, worst defense we've ever measured, yeah.
How much does a 70-point against factor into that?
A lot, but the new version of DVOA that I'm using this year does more to downweight the fourth quarter of blowout. For the most part, the last 21 points of that don't matter. The Broncos have been bad on defense in pretty much every game.
Well, you just anticipated my next question, which was going to be, is there a unit, offensive or defense, that is historically good or bad? And so there's your answer.
The Dolphins offense also, though. The Dolphins offense is the fifth best ever.
Kelly,
so this has been a year of extremes. There are some really good units and some really bad ones.
Well, you know, I used to say this about baseball through the years, that it's the ever-increasing chasm between the haves and the have-nots. Do you think that that's what's happening in football, or just a one-year thing or a one-quarter of a year thing?
I will tell you, when you look at my best ever and worst ever list, it's surprising how few teams from the 1980s and the first half of the 1990s show up on those lists. Mm. You would think more teams would, because that was pre-salary cap. But actually, I found that the standard deviation of the league is generally larger now than it was in the 80s.
Pete Rozelle's dream of parity is perhaps going by the wayside. We'll see. What about special teams? Who's your best special teams? This is the part when we're handicapping, we're thinking offense and defense. We don't factor in special teams, but it is a portion of the game. And is it sustainable through a year? I know it's not sustainable from year to year, but if I ask you right now, all right, who's the best special teams? Who's the worst? Does it matter?
I mean, it matters a little bit. It's less predictive than offense or defense, right? So first of all, there's a much smaller range between good and bad. So it means less. And the second of all, it's less predictive. So the Eagles are the number one special teams, and the Patriots are dead last. But, you know, obviously that doesn't matter anywhere near as much your offense,
sure,
as offense and defense going forward. To me, what it says is the fact that this thing that is so important to Bill Belichick has been last in the league for a year and a half now is telling you something about what's going on in New England. I don't want to get into a huge whole conversation, mm-hmm, you know, as a Patriots fan about what is going to happen to Bill Belichick and is he going to get fired and whatever. But the fact that this thing that matters so much to him, they're terrible at it, says something about what he's been able to do building that team.
That is an interesting point. You're right. We won't go down that rabbit hole. I just want to get through. That's for a conversation for another day, as they say. All right. Based on your preseason projections, what have you been the most right about? What teams have you been the most correct about?
Cleveland, although their offense has not been as good as we expected, we thought their defense would be improved. And in fact, their defense is number one and they're a top 10 team right now. So we were right about that. We were right about the decline of the Cincinnati defense, but we did not expect the decline of the Cincinnati offense. And we were right that the Vikings and the Giants were frauds last year. Although the Vikings, this is really funny, the Vikings are better this year than they were last year. The underlying statistics of the Vikings at 1-4 are better than the underlying statistics of last year's Vikings at 13-4. It's a little nuts.
Well, that is a little nuts, which, of course, the mainstream media couches with the one score results, right? That they were, what, 11-0 in one score results last year, and I believe have not won a single one score game thus far this year.
I think they won. Their one win was by 8 points. So if you consider eight points a one possession game, then I believe they're 1-4.
Then I stand correct. You're right. 21-13, I believe it was. They beat the Panthers. You're right. Okay. Which teams have flummoxed you the most based on your preseason projections?
I did not expect Indianapolis or Houston to be this good. You can't expect rookie quarterbacks to be good, no matter how high they're drafted. But Richardson was good, and Stroud is better. I mean, Stroud has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then the other big one is we thought Miami was going to regress a little bit. We thought Miami's offense would regress. There was no way they could play. They could hit deep shots at that level for two straight years, and that their defense was not going to take the big step forward with Vic Fangio that people thought. We were absolutely right about defense and absolutely wrong about their offense. Like wrong, wrong, wrong.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. All right, so this is perhaps more direct for bettors then. Based on the betting market, based on what you're hearing conventional wisdom-wise in mainstream media, what do you think the teams are that the general public has wrong, either to the good or to the bad?
I mean, I don't have the current odds in front of me of what the Super Bowl odds are, but just thinking about record and our numbers, my guess is we have Buffalo higher than anybody else. We don't actually have Buffalo higher than anybody else. Kevin Cole, who people know runs a blog called Unexpected Points, has Buffalo number one in his power rankings, still ahead of the 49ers because of priors. Buffalo has been so good this year in those three games in the middle, weeks 2-4.
Yeah.
And then they were pretty good against Jacksonville, but lost because they didn't run as many plays, which is not predictive of the future. So, I mean, people are writing them off because of that one loss in week one, which was an overtime loss to the Jets. They are really good, and our knowledge of them going into the season was that they were really good. So my guess is that if there's any team that's probably underrated by the markets right now, it's the Buffalo Bills.
I think you're probably right. You do. And they were jet lagged for a quarter and a half of this last game anyway, as well, on top of it. Real quick, because we have a minute left. Same question, but specifically regarding quarterbacks. What quarterbacks do you think the betting market or the general public is the most off on based on your underlying metrics?
I honestly do not know the answer to that question. If you're talking about what quarterbacks mean to the spread or what quarterbacks MVP, I mean, I think when the general public thinks about quarterbacks, they don't realize how well Jared Goff is playing. Now, Jared Goff, it's another one like Tua Tagovailoa and Brock Purdy, where it's dependent a lot on the scheme and the players around him. But like Detroit is the number four offense in DVOA, and they were like number two or three last year. And I don't think anybody thinks of Jared Goff as being that good.
Aaron, so fascinating. Plug away on FTN. What should people know?
So yeah, FTNFantasy.com/DVOA is where you're going to find all my stuff. And you get all the DVOA stats going back to 1981 even, with a FTN Stats Plus or Fantasy Plus subscription. Plus you get my picks against the spread every week too.
My man, Aaron Schatz at A Schatz NFL. Thank you, Aaron, as always, man. We'll talk.
Yeah, let's talk after week 9.
Aaron Schatz, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Crackman Unscripted, next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we had tweets at Beating the Book. Stephen Vegas already chimed in that he's going to ride out his Texas over Arizona exact at 175-1. Thought it was dead at one point in the season, and now look at him. This is Matthew Mayberry. What would you think of a Zach Wheeler 18-1 NLCS MVP bet? If the Phillies win tonight, Wheeler would be in line to potentially pitch games 1, 4, and 7. Most likely only two starts if it doesn't go 7. This coming from a Braves fan makes me sick. Makes me sick, but money is green. I think it's great thinking. Absolutely. And I think that's a wonderful thought. And yeah, as good a thought as any for MVP. Let's put it that way. The numbers guys, I have to keep asking because it keeps getting more interesting. Rangers at 50-1, D-backs at 180-1. Should I cash them out at 10-1 and 16.7-1 respectively? Good problem to have, but I'll screw it up. I'm not going to sit here, Kelly. This is where you get into business. You're like, I don't want to tell anybody what to do on your stuff. That's your, those are your tickets. You're going to have to decide how to view those. But it's a great position to be in. And you have to ask yourself, has anything in your handicap changed? You've gotten this far. If there's no real answer to that question, you know, I don't know that your primary instinct would be, how do I get out of this? How do I cash out? But maybe that money, it depends how much you're betting also. Maybe that money is a substantial amount enough that it means you need to lock it in. So many circumstances.
I think it's an interesting thing for us to ask Bill when we bring him on here in a sec. But yep. It's something you have to be comfortable with yourself. And what I always appreciate about what you say, Gil, is I like that logic not only, but what I appreciate more is you always stick to the same thing no matter what. And that is the only thing that should change that is, okay, maybe if it's a situation where you have a much longer number than what you're normally dealing with or much more money in play than what you're normally dealing with. But as far as just futures betting go, I understand why we get so many questions about it. There's a lot more newer bettors in the market now that are, you know, don't know how to handle these types of situations. But Gil, I think you say it well. What has changed with your bet from when you made it? Yeah. All you've done so far is your bet's looking like it's more and more accurate from what you
made
guessed.
It for a reason.
Yeah.
Real quick, because I want to get to crack, but GB, New Jersey, New York, went to Phillies Braves yesterday. Good for you. Placed the 46-1 exacta before driving to game one last week. Played 16-1 at the casino next to the ballpark before walking in. I think you rode my Phillies over the Astros here. Chili Gambler. Oh, I love this question. Hey, Gil, would love to hear your thoughts on this thought experiment. Pickett and Purdy switch teams on draft day. What happens? Can't think of two young quarterbacks drafted into more opposite situations before and think results are more about coaching than quarterback, but I don't know. It's such a great question. We can never know the answer, right? So it's a hypothetical that we can never prove, no matter how we answer it. But I will say this, the more, and you're right, they are two disparate situations, Kyle Shanahan versus Matt Canada. But Brock Purdy, I just think we've gotten to the point that we are selling this kid short. And I think, and we're going to try to get Ethan Strauss on the show, who did a great piece about comparing Brock Purdy to Draymond Green. And he's like, we could never appreciate Draymond Green in a way that we would have otherwise had he been a higher draft pick. And it's like, if he's the secret sauce of it all, and we don't, like, if you watch Brock Purdy, the more people that analyze Brock Purdy, more people who know the NFL, I think we might be staring at someone who's far greater than any of us think at this moment in time. There have been quarterbacks like that. I won't even utter them out loud because then people are going to say, oh, you're comparing him to so-and-so. But I just think we might be selling Brock Purdy short. But yeah, your question is valid because we don't know. We'll never know. I famously have said on this show many times, if Peyton Manning had gotten drafted by the Washington football team, he never would have become Peyton Manning. My opinion. I can't prove it. I can't disprove it. And you can't disprove it. But so, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, more to the point. It's Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Oh, yeah.
Billy!
Hey.
Billy.
Thanks for the music.
What's happening?
That's so cool. How you guys doing?
Doing great. It's a long time no see.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in... I got to tell you something. I went home last night. I got two cups of hot tea because I was out yesterday morning. I left the house at 9:20 in the morning, and I didn't get home until we were home, like, I don't know, 11 o'clock, 10:30, something like that. It was just out all day, and I was at different meetings with people from the conferences that were here and meeting different groups.
G2E.
And I did a couple shows yesterday, so it was like back-to-back-to-back-to-back. I did my podcast yesterday. And that was just, by the time I got home, I was beat up, man.
Yeah.
And
you're a busy man.
No, just this time of the year. That's all, really. And it's football time. And yeah.
Bill had his first Carbone experience last night.
Oh, Carbone.
Oh, very good. First time ever, Bill?
Oh, by the way, I never even told you how that food was excellent.
Yeah.
I never got to really tell you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of talking last night. We were with a couple
great
guys that were they both on the show yesterday?
No, just
Tom,
Dean was
Tom
on.
Tom Hagen? No, Hagen wasn't. It was the other guy.
Yeah, Dean was on. That's right.
Dean, Dean from Profit Exchange.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We had dinner with him and their lawyer.
Yeah.
And I asked the lawyer, I said, so what kind of law do you do? And he just has one client, them. And I said, you're like Tom Hagen.
Like Tom Hagen.
I gave him the name Tom. I gave him the name Tom Hagen. He's got one client only.
Do you think he understood the reference?
Probably not. They're kids. They're so young.
They're so young.
Like when you see, he's like 28 and 29. Like they're kids. And maybe, a lot of the kids don't really know The Godfather. They may know Goodfellas under 30.
That's right.
But like I was with some people last week that didn't know the movie Casino.
Kelly's youngish.
Let me weigh in a little bit as a 36-year-old. Okay, I have seen The Godfather multiple times. Yeah. I mean, 10
you're
plus
in the
times.
Pulse of the gaming business here. I'm not saying.
Yeah, sure. But yeah. I wouldn't have known the name. I wouldn't have known the name.
Oh,
if you just said the
yeah.
If you just made yeah. If you just said the name.
I'm a sick bastard. I know every single part of ever the whole entire. Thing you name one thing and I'll know every single scene.
Did you have enough food? That's all I'm concerned about. I just want you to be happy.
I gotta be honest with you, I could have had more. No, I'm just saying it's if you ask.
I know. Yes.
Do you want to know why?
Because we went communal
and I let you guys have the bulk of the food.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I wanted to. I felt like I didn't want you to. I didn't want to jump right in there and just start gavoning.
What did you like the best?
I'll tell you the pasta, that spicy pasta,
spicy vodka rigatoni.
Oh man, that was unbelievable. Yeah. And al dente, like I like it nice. The
right, next time,
Parmesan
next time,
good.
Just me and you can just eat like a banshee, just go crazy.
Like I'm going to the electric chair. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bill just made the best two things on the menu.
Oh,
I say that as a guy who's only eaten there like six or seven times, and I basically order those two same things.
But this is what I do for the first time, people. Yeah. I just said, we're going greatest hits. We're not going album cuts.
And the first time I was ever there, it was those two dishes with you. Yep.
And by the way, thank you to the Profit Exchange guys. And,
that's right.
And I want to tell you something, too. This is going to be a weird subject, probably.
Okay.
Listen.
Yeah.
Gil, you have to let them pay. And I'll tell you, I love paying for dinner. I always pay for dinner. Mm-hmm. But if you want to, literally scalp my brain for everything, and I talked a lot. I thought I talked too much, actually. And I gave them a lot of good information. Yeah, they're going to pay. And I don't talk like that. I pay for dinner. Yeah. If I go out, I pay. It's like Tony Soprano. I go out, I pay. Yeah. When you get older, you go out, you pay. No, that's what he told the kid. When someone goes out to dinner, you let them pay. When they're using your information that you're going to give them, I gave them guys a lot of good just street talk and stuff from my side of the counter.
Oh, it's great.
Someone that was betting for many, many years, for three decades. I did bet at a couple of places like that. And I've never bet at Betfair, but I have bet it at some places like that. And
they enjoyed it tremendously. They absolutely did.
No, guys.
For those who are like, hey, G2E, is it worth coming into town for G2E? Have you had a good G2E experience?
I've had three different meetings with people that requested them to meet with me and talk and things. And it was good. That last night, they really didn't even request me, those guys, but I just showed up because of you. And I got to tell them a lot of things that I thought maybe helped them with their business or something. And let me tell you something. Let me be real blunt. I didn't say it to those guys last night. I probably should have, Gil. Their model is fantastic for guys like me, for sports bettors like me.
Yeah. Talking about betting exchanges.
Betting
now.
Exchanges.
Yeah.
They're fantastic for guys like me. I'm sorry. These under whatever, 40 crowd or whatever, they are just... they want to play at their spots that they see on TV at Yankee Stadium, DraftKings, FanDuel. Right. They want to play at their places. They want to get their $200 bonus. They don't realize the value of an exchange, how it's worth so much money to you at the end of the year.
This is what we talked about yesterday on a numbers game.
Well, I'm telling you from a player standpoint.
Yeah, no, this is what we talked about because I said to, I asked him, do you think in the same way that in-game betting took so many years to catch on in the United States, we're not as sharp as the Brits in that kind of way, right?
Yeah.
Where it was already over 50% of the handle more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
Will exchanges, will it take a long, long time for people to sort of grasp? First of all, it's only in one jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very specific conversation now. But anyway, they're very aware of sort of the context in which it lives.
From what they said last night, there's some really juicy things to be looked at with their Profit Exchange. I have to really see it myself. That's great. I'm looking forward to it.
Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted. For those on the DK Network, Dan Lebatard is next. We're coming right back. More crack right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.